Hello from rainy Scotland. We're here visiting some of our UK family members. And this is lesson number 7 in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. Let's begin with a quick recap of the previous talk on Blessed are the Merciful. Mercy related to issues of fairness and justice, that is, ethical matters, how we treat others. It means mercy towards the needy, towards those who are hurting. We observe that in our church demographics, there's an inversion. Whereas the early church had some well-to-do members, but most were quite common or poor, the modern church, particularly in the West, tends to have very few needy members. Most are doing just fine. And this is reflected in church budgets, which normally allocate very little for the needy and a lot for salaries and buildings. If we don't show mercy, our forgiveness, our salvation, could be revoked. We could become unforgiven. If we oversleep or accidentally run a red light or forget to report some of our income or fail to take care of the temple, our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit, well, we repent and we confess and we pray, and I think we have strong hope that such sins will not qualify us for heaven. But if we fail to show mercy, we are in very serious trouble. So that was a big one. Blessed are the merciful. Here in Scotland, this time of year, there's a lot of rain and there's a lot of mud. We've been going on some nice long walks. I don't wear my boots inside, though. We don't want to bring the mud in to the floor or on the carpet. We take it off outside. There's a certain level of purity that is reasonable and that everyone expects. The sixth beatitude is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Just as we wouldn't want to track mud into where we live, there's a spiritual mud we don't want in our heart. Purity is a constant theme in Jesus' teaching, and that is that God looks not only at outward actions, but also at what goes on inside a person. Here are two more passages from Matthew. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasury of his heart brings forth good things. But an evil man out of his evil treasury brings forth evil things. Matthew 12, 34, 35. And you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of extortion and self-indulgence, blind Pharisee. First, cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside may be clean also. Matthew 23, 25, 26. Well, this purity of which Jesus speaks is not physical or hygienic or even necessarily sexual, as many people think, although they're all connected. Rather, the focus is on the heart. It's on motivation. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord, Proverbs 16:2. And Paul tells us, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart, 1 Corinthians 4:5. And in a passage that's very moving to me, where Paul is being actively undermined by brothers who are competing with him, he says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. There are many other passages on motives and purity of motive. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, Jesus' brother James says in James 4:8. Or there's the famous Proverbs 4:23, and so many other passages. But the point is that this purity is what's inside us. It's not external actions. It's what's inside our heart. It is what motivates us. And he says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, of course, no one can see God. No one has seen God, the Bible says over and over, but Jesus has come and revealed him. When we see Jesus, we see the Lord. Or Jesus said, don't you know me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. John 14:9, John 1:18. So, we may not be able to see God physically, because God is spirit, not physical, but in our hearts we can appreciate, we can apprehend his love, his power, his other attributes. But this is sometimes easier said than done. I'm someone who loves to look up at the stars. I really rejoice when the evening sky is dark and unpolluted and cloudless. I love to be able to look up and identify the planets and the major constellations. But dust in the air makes it very difficult to see the stars at night. And in fact, air pollution can make it impossible. Some people hardly ever see the stars in their life because of where they live. Well, what is the equivalent of dust in the air? Well, Paul says it could be deliberate ignorance, because not seeing God, not being able to appreciate spiritual things, isn't just a matter of lack of information. There's a moral component. In Romans 1, 18 to 21, Paul speaks about deliberate ignorance, people who suppress the truth. They just don't want to know. They don't want to know. I mean, you could explain it to them and give them good reasons, but they just can't get motivated to listen or engage or think about it. There's a block. And of course, deliberate sin does something very similar. Ephesians 4, 18 to 19, deliberate sin clouds our spiritual vision. Thus, the pure in heart are able to see God in the sense of experiencing Him, that is, having a real, tangible relationship with Him. But Jesus is also talking about the age to come, when we'll see God as He is. And this is an amazing passage, 1 John 3, 2 and 3. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, that's Jesus Christ, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. So when we see Jesus, we'll be like Him. The more we see Him now, the more we're like Him. And if we're Christians, we want to be like Him. We're not hoping to just do the minimum. We want to become as much like Him as possible, conformed to His character. Everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself or herself. So Jesus is pure. We contemplate Him and becoming like Him when we see Him, and that hope itself purifies our motives on an ongoing basis. See, the focus is on Christ, and that leads to transformation. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's take time daily to think on Christ, devotional time. And as needed, when we're tempted, when we're sorely tempted, let's think of Him. Stop thinking of purity as somehow an option or something that will come as I'm a mature Christian. The Hebrew writer said, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We need to be pure in our actions and in our motives. And if you want more on this, a few years back, I did a series on, purity, all kinds of purity. It was called Clean. You can find 31 podcasts on that at my website. Take special note of others whose motives are pure, or they seem especially pure, and imitate them. That's my counsel today. Daily take time to think on Christ. Stop thinking of purity as an option. It's essential. Watch others. Notice others who live that way and imitate them. May we all become pure in heart. Next beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers. That we might have thought we were following Christ, and at the end, it's all for naught. At the judgment day, again, in light of our sinfulness, our waywardness, we don't want to be asking God, deal justly with me. No, we want mercy. We want mercy. Well, our next beatitude in verse 8 is, blessed are the pure in heart. We'll come to that tomorrow. But for today, just think about the fifth beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And in our interactions today, let's behave mercifully. Let's forgive debts. Let's give people the benefit of the doubt. Let's be kind. Let's think before we speak. Let's be like Jesus. Thank you for listening to this podcast.